If you visited northeastern Congo this weekend, you would find thousands of empty homes. Most of the residents have fled the city of Bunia. Reporters there say that gunmen carry Kalashnikov rifles through the streets, and they have been killing some of the people who remain. The United Nations force is supposed to stabilize the area, but UN officials have only been able to count the mutilated bodies from repeated massacres. The UN reports finding more than 300 bodies this past week, and Britain and other nations say they could send in their own troops soon. James Bont is a program coordinator for the British aid group Oxfam, and he joins us now from Congo. Mr. Bont, welcome.
Thank you. Good evening.
I understand you were just in the city of Bunia yesterday. Can you describe for me what you saw?
Very disturbing scenes, desolate, empty streets in most of the town. Worst of all, outside of the areas that the United Nations mission to Congo, MONUC, is patrolling, you find lots of armed militiamen roaming around with guns. And one of the most disturbing things is that a lot of them are children, very young children, 7, 8 years old even, carrying boys and girls carrying guns.
What is happening to the residents who remain in Bunia? Who is choosing to remain, and are they in danger?
Probably 10 to 15,000 people who are displaced. They're just staying in very, very desperate conditions in two camps in the town, one close to the airport and one in the middle of town inside the United Nations compound.
So the UN troops are able to protect some people, at least, who go to this particular UN compound or the other location?
So long as they're within this area, they're to some extent protected. But unfortunately, we've had reports as well that at the camp, which is closer to the airport, it's in an open field. So sometimes the armed men go in there sometimes and harass people still, and sometimes there have been kidnappings.
I know that several years ago there was a civil war in Congo. There was a change of government. A number of foreign armies, 8 foreign armies, were fighting in Congo. It was called Africa's World War. There was supposed to be a peace agreement. So who's still fighting and what are they fighting about?
In Ituri, there's a dynamic which is different from that going on in the larger picture of the country. The dynamic is that over the years, a certain ethnic group, the Hema group, had gotten ascendancy over the other ethnic group, the Lendu. There's absolutely just no structure of authority or of control. So it's just been chaos. So this has given room to the ethnic dimension now to step in, and the fighting is basically on ethnic lines.
In this state where no one really seems to be in control, you have ethnic groups that are simply grabbing the opportunity to kill each other.
Precisely. And to jockey themselves for position of control of the land, of the resources of the area. It has gold. You have Colombo tantalite, which is also a rare precious metal, I think. You have all sorts of things, diamonds. There's wood, coffee, fertile grazing lands. It's very good cattle country.
So this is, I would assume, a desperately poor place, and yet there is a great deal of money at stake here for somebody.
Oh, yes, indeed. And the poverty is just caused by the conflict, because otherwise this used to be the area that produced the food that fed a lot of the rest of the Congo and neighboring countries.
There is a United Nations peacekeeping force near Bunia.
In Bunia.
Why isn't it having more of an effect?
They had a limited mandate from the United Nations Security Council, and they also are very inadequately resourced. So if fighting is going on, basically they can fire only in self-defense.
These gunmen you've seen on the streets, whether they're adults or children, do they show any respect at all for the UN force?
No, I think they think they can take them out anytime.
James Bont is a program coordinator for the British aid group Oxfam. Mr. Bont, thanks very much.
You're welcome.